financial services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang. It is that time of the week. It is time for, first, your favorite Tuesday you've had all week, and the True Wealth Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Littlejohn. In studio with me today,
Matt Dixon.
And I'm just going to call us out on this right out of the gate.
Yes.
The days are getting short fast. The weather is turning. And Matt, you're kind of operating on like a combination of like Dayquil and prayers.
Yeah, 50% battery for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I just feel like I have been steamrolled by about 300 different things that have all been competing for my time and attention, and most of them in negative ways. I'm just like, man.
We're a little beat up. We're a little weathered.
Yeah. Well, what I want to say is thank you, listeners, because this is arguably my mostest favoritest time all week was when we get to do this show. And so this is the respite right now.
Yes.
For me, this is like, this is my favorite part of the week when we get to talk. And you know what? It may be more important than ever that we talk about this show, especially in light of how both of us are feeling, Matt.
Right.
To give you an idea, though, when we first started this show, Matt's... Can I share the original title?
Yeah.
Right? Because what did you say it was? The deck is stacked against you or something like that?
The game is rigged. Here's the keys to
It's like the game is rigged. It really is bad, right? It was something like that. And I was like, man, we can't do a show like that. What if we were to talk about like how, you know, the struggle is real, but there's hope, right? And it's okay. And then, like, I got another two or three, you know, gut punches afterwards. I'm like, maybe the game is rigged. I don't even know I want to do this.
It's rigged, David. I'm telling you.
You know, maybe rigged is the wrong term. But the struggle really is real for everyone. And, you know, I say this I'll misquote the verse, but it's like, you know, rejoice in all things in Christ, right? And that's like one of those where I have to go, yeah, that all the things are not only good things, just so we're aware.
Rejoice with those trials and tribulations.
Well, you know,
they build character.
I will admit, I had this moment thinking about Job, who, you know, as was described as a righteous man, and then, you know, basically is sort of a dare. God's like, you know, talking to Satan. He's like, hey, he only does it because you give him all the stuff. And he's like, no, he's not. Watch this. And so, you know, he takes it all away. And Job's not happy about it, but he's still righteous in the process. And he doesn't like blame God. He's just like, hey, why is this happening? And then you go through the whole, you know, reasons why. Not like this is going to turn into a bunch of scripture stuff today, but I find it interesting because you have that moment of like, no. Bad stuff happens in this world. I'm not going to blame God for it. That's not what's going on.
Right.
And I'm also going to take a moment to like look at the silver lining of everything, right? It's funny. The power's out at my house right now. Where we are, it probably won't be on until tomorrow.
No joke.
Probably not. Just where we are on the line. And if it's going to be windy all night long, you know, God bless our the linemen and folks out there doing the work to keep our infrastructure running.
Did you hear the projections for today?
Like 60-mile-an-hour winds tonight.
Yeah.
And so if that goes on until 7 in the morning, like there's a good chance that we're out of power the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has to do with like where we are at the end of a transformer station, right? So anywhere in the chain that goes out, the far end goes out. And so, you know, you work your way back from the inside of the trunk on out to restore as many houses as you can, well, then we're going to be last.
One of these days I'm going to have a Generac system, and I'm just not going to ever worry about the power outages.
This may be the deciding factor for me, because I always think of it as like last time it was Snowmageddon where we had a week without power.
Now it's a windstorm.
But the windstorms are like, I didn't even think about it. You know, you think all these other natural, like earthquakes or this or that, like, but wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The coast is getting it way worse, too. 100 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, it's getting pounded. So, anyway, But the perspective I did, I was driving by and I actually saw somebody sitting on a bench, kind of bundled up in a blanket. I mean, this is a person that's homeless. And I thought immediately went, I've got challenges, but they're the kind of problems that people would trade to have.
True.
You know, it's just so frustrations and things like that. But so I get it. Anyway, so it got me to thinking, this is the True Wealth Show.
Mm-hmm.
What is the foundation of true wealth? And that, I think, is that acknowledgement of, like, the struggle is real.
Yeah.
And yet, there are many, many things that we can look at and many things in our lives that we can do that I think are a path to wealth. And wealth, ultimately, a path to dollars.
Right, but it's
the foundation. It's more.
Yeah, it's your health. Do you have a life of balance? And so, you know, it's not just about the numbers in the bank account. It's how you feel. It's how you live. And is it sustainable? Like, because you can have, like, stuff in the short term that feels really good, but is that sustainable?
So is the stuff sustainable or is the feeling sustainable?
All of it. Both.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Yeah, because you can prop up a lifestyle that feels really good in the moment, but if it's leveraged on debt and stuff you don't really have and it all comes crumbling down, it's not going to feel so good.
Well, and there's this pernicious little thing that runs around too, right? It's hedonic adaptation.
Okay. I actually haven't heard of this.
Okay. Hedonic adaptation is... So you've heard of, like, hedonistic or a hedonist, right? So somebody that sort of indulges in carnal pleasures. So they're really into the eat, drink, and be merry pleasures of the world, right?
Yep.
And hedonic adaptation is getting used to the finer things, and then they become normal. So, I always wanted to get that car. And then you get the car, and then it's exciting for a little while, then it becomes normal. And you get used to that, and you start searching for the next thing to scratch the itch, right? The hedonic adaptation is the idea that, you've got the mansion on the beachfront. And then you're like, well, now that's normal. What comes next? Well, now I need a bigger mansion with an airport
and
or a heliport.
That's where Diddy made all of his money.
This idea that it turns into the game of more, because hedonic adaptation prevents you from remaining satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I think that's a real issue that we could all benefit from addressing, right? Like, so many of us have these subtle addictions all through our lives.
Right.
Okay. And if you don't believe me, go look at how many hours you look at your phone screen in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that'll quickly remind you, no, I'm not addicted to that. Really? How do you manage 20 plus hours looking at your phone this week?
It's true.
Okay? Half of a work week staring at a phone screen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just here or there or whatever it is. It's like, really?
It's real time.
Well, how many of you spend 20 hours reading nonfiction?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's like a full-time student load. 20 hours. You think about it, you're spending that much time on your phone. Most of us, right? I'm including myself in that one.
Yeah.
And if you're out there trying to rationalize it, all right, well, I don't care. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just telling you, you got to be aware that, you know, we all find these little ways to feed addictions a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. And then we do very little to combat, like, what's going on behind the scenes, right?
Well,
like,
step one, awareness, right? And there's a spectrum of personality. Some people more addicted than others and to different things, right? Mm-hmm. You know, some things we sort of socially decide are more benign, and so we kind of tolerate that. You know, you stare at your phone a lot. Okay, but if you're, you know, a passenger in a car every day and you just kind of, you know, zone out on your phone during that time, it's like, well, yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, it's not like the time would have been used for a whole lot else.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of let it slide.
Right.
But it's still there.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the key. So I think, you know, if we're looking at the holistic version of wealth and how does one seek satisfaction, what do you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think part of it is you've got to kind of focus a little bit on your physical and mental health. right? Because we always want to, and we talk about it on the show a lot, you know, how do you fix the financial piece? But if you're not physically well or you're not mentally well, then, you know, how are you going to enjoy that money? Because no amount of money is going to buy you the life that you want if you're not well.
Yeah. I would suggest, and we can talk about all of these, and probably there's probably more to it than that too, but there's the physical side of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's the mental side of things, and then there's the spiritual side of things.
Yeah.
And then those all are connected when we talk about the financial side of things.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's the idea that they don't exist in a vacuum. Okay. So let's unpack that a little today. And I want to talk about, I think you're right, Matt. I mean, the very beginning of this starts with the health, right? Mm-hmm. It turns out when you are healthy, you can pursue all these other things.
Right.
But if you're not healthy, all you pursue is health.
I mean, David, would you rather have, you know, $0 and 30 years of good health or $100 billion and be on your deathbed? Like,
yeah. Well, and not just that. Imagine having plenty of resources, but being so medically fragile that you can't enjoy
them. Yeah. You're
right? It's not just death, but it's like you can't access because, just can't
you ate
tolerate.
Too many cupcakes, you're gave yourself diabetes, and your legs got amputated. Yeah,
they're real, right?
Yeah,
you know, and this is not to make light of it all. It's actually quite the opposite. If somebody has an accident, they end up paralyzed in some form or fashion. You think the money is what's on their mind? You think that they would trade all the resources they had to get their mobility back?
Yeah,
I suspect they would.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the foundation of all of this is health. And there's some things that I think we should talk about there. And so baseline health, what are some things I think everybody should look at regardless of your age? If you're curious, and then how are we going to connect this to total wealth?
Mm-hmm.
Stick around. But it turns out we do have to take our first obscene profit break of the show. So when we do that, we're going to reload. Come back. So don't go far. When we come back, we're going to be talking about health, and we'll talk about some of the favorite hacks of CEOs to crank up on the health side of the equation.
Let's do
that and more. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. I am your host, Dave Littlejohn, in studio today with me,
Matt Dixon.
And we're talking about the foundations of true wealth. And today we're going to talk a little bit about, I know you're thinking money all the time, but what does the money matter if you do not have your health? And so we're going to cover that. If you want to get caught up, remember, podcast available, so you can grab that. But we're going to jump right into the health side of this here. So first and foremost, Matt, you know, what are the basics of health? You know, I feel like we could say five or six things that are so low-hanging fruit, it's not even, like, I'm not even afraid to give actual advice on this.
Like, go exercise?
Yeah, like move more,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're already moving, you're not worried about it. But, like, for most people, the first thing, I mean, this phrase always cracks me up, right? But motion is the lotion, right? If you were sore, go move. You need to start moving again because that's what helps your body stop being sore,
mm-hmm.
okay? And, you know, if you injure something, you still need to use it a little bit. Talk to your physical therapist.
You got to get that blood flowing.
You got to tell your body it still needs to work, right? Mm-hmm. If you just shut something down, it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll just work around it. No sense healing.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. There's a reason why someone in a wheelchair has atrophy. The muscle isn't being used, and so it withers.
Yes.
Like, if you don't do anything, your body will wither.
It happens way faster than you realize, too. Like, if you've ever been in a cast,
mm-hmm.
within a day or two, atrophy is already underway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens really, really fast once things are immobilized. So movement is super important. That's just, like, way low-hanging fruit. I think... there's some other ones that are like surprisingly accessible and easy. Like, you don't need a bunch of exercise equipment, right? You don't have to run. You can go for a walk if you're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a fun one. I had not realized this, but that if you don't like the impact of running, but mm-hmm. you still want to have a lot of the similar cardio benefit,
yeah.
ruck marching, right? Like wearing a weighted backpack.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You don't have to run, but that extra weight helps to increase the resistance to a point that that becomes more beneficial to you.
One of the things that my wife added to her workout routine recently is that electronic jump rope, and it counts how many times you've jumped.
Oh, no.
And so it keeps you going and keeps you pushing, and that actually burns quite a few calories. And
jump rope is a high calorie burn.
Yeah.
As I'm getting older, I just am more sensitive. It's weird. Like, you don't have the same bounce as when you were in your youth. As you get older, mm-hmm. in decades, and you start, you know, counting decades on more than your fingers, right?
Right.
More than one hand. So, at that point, you're like, yeah, you know, that's more jarring. But movement in general.
Yeah.
Here's another one that it's like we all know it, and yet we don't do much about it.
What's that?
Sugar.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, man. I mean, sugar is in everything, all these processed foods, and it's just everywhere. It's such an inflammatory agent, and it's like the gateway drug to other dietary medical problems.
So my family has a history of diabetes.
Oh, boy.
So my grandpa has his insulin. My dad probably should use insulin, but he works out like 3 hours a day and eats nothing but like meat and vegetables, and so he's trying to manage it with diet. And so the other day I was actually—
He's also freakishly strong, I might add. So.
Yeah, that's true. But the other day we were at my grandpa's house, and he happened to have an extra one of those meters that you put on, and it—
glucose monitor?
Yeah, and so fun fact about me, I hate needles, blood draws, I just don't do them. I pass out every time.
Which is why we try to make Matt do blood draws as often as possible.
That's right.
While on video.
Yes. But my grandpa's like, hey, you know, with the family history of diabetes, you should probably put this on and check your blood sugar for the next couple weeks.
You could even see it. It's no big deal.
I was reluctant to do it, but I did it. And so
pop
I'm actually
done.
Wearing it right now.
Yep.
And
pop I've, done. Didn't I've, even notice.
Yep.
Not a big deal.
I've been monitoring my blood sugar, and like you just mentioned, it's crazy what just a small amount of sugar will do. Like, I went to In-N-Out and got a milkshake the other day.
Brings all the boys to the yard.
Oh, man. Yeah. But you start thinking about it, it's like, okay, maybe you can get away with a milkshake, but a lot of people don't stop there, right? Like, it's the milkshake and then the super sugary ketchup with your fries, and then...
Well, and the fries themselves, which are, you know, these fried potatoes that are... already pretty starchy to begin with, and you're just making them easy to get to.
And some people order the combo meal and get the soda. And then, you know, it's like, if you do a soda and a milkshake,
oh, geez.
You have just...
Game over.
You've just
blood sugar
wrecked,
300.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's easy to do. And it's little pieces at a time, too.
Well,
you go home and then you snack on this
thing. It accumulates over time, too. It's not just the one-time event, right?
Right.
I mean, like, you're going to have birthday cake every now and then. That's not the issue. The issue is how it sneaks into your everyday lifestyle and then how inflammation becomes a regular thing. And you'll feel it in, like, your joints, right?
Yep.
Your joints just are kind of creakier. You retain water more. It just impedes function. And then if you do it enough, you start to develop insulin resistance, which is kind of the pathway to type 2 diabetes. So,
and there's so many weird things that they put in foods anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, look at it the next time you go to the grocery store, how many preservatives or food colorings are in something. And it's like, if it's got a ton of that stuff, you can't make that part of your daily routine, or you know, you might have some health issues in the future.
And while this is not us trying to be health experts, it's really not what we're qualified for today. But there are things that are sort of easy to figure out here. And I will say also, like, we have the Blue Zones Project in our community that has a lot of information about this. There's tons of information available for just better understanding this. But I think you can boil it down to really simple rules. Things like, largely speaking, if it grew somewhere rather than coming in a package, you're probably better off.
Yep.
Okay. Learning a little bit more about the difference between when organic matters or not, and you know the way some, because organic does not necessarily matter.
No.
Right. I mean, it does sometimes, but not necessarily. And so the standards are a little loose. Careful about whether you're just getting a marketing pitch or if it's really something that is going to be health beneficial. But the reality is that if you had to pick between, I think, whole foods that were non-organic versus some kind of packaged foods, you're probably still better off. You know, so it's like, okay, it's still a lesser evil than eating a bunch of Cheetos.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So anyway, and then the exercise part of it, right? That, how much? I think you just need a daily dose, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can find 20 to 30 minutes a day of movement, good deal. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know anymore that it needs to be all at once. I mean, I've seen some interesting studies about like, hey, if you just walked for 10 minutes after every meal, that alone would make a big difference in how your body utilizes that influx of energy that you've given it, especially if you have an inactive job, right? So like you have a desk job, you eat lunch and then go for a 10-minute walk before you come back. That can do a whole lot of good.
Absolutely.
For your blood sugar.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's a big deal. Here's another funny one. Just pausing to breathe intentionally every now and then.
Yeah.
There's some, I think, real benefits to stress management and cortisol management. If you don't know, cortisol is a stress hormone, right? And so just taking some time to slow down intentionally, calm your system down, take a few deep breaths, and just allow your pulse to slow a little bit and just sort of regather, clear your mind. Those are just great moments. I don't think we do them enough.
Yeah, that stress management piece is a big one.
Yeah. I mean, it's the funniest thing. I would have never said that I was a meditator before. I still don't think that I am in the traditional sense, but I also thought meditation was something reserved for like Buddhist monks or something. And come to find out later, think about it more like all the other things that you exercise on your body. Well, your mind is doing things all the time. Allowing your mind to calm itself and allow the thoughts to kind of work out until they're not there anymore. And that's the idea, like intentional quiet time to let your thoughts quiet, improves your focus and helps with stress management. And so like that intentional quieting of the mind every now and then, they sound nerdy, but these are very important to like the different chemical processes going on in your body.
I had a college professor once, and the guy was kind of wild, but he's like, all right, guys, so I'm going to teach you the most important thing you'll ever learn. And he's like, it's changed my life. He's like, I used to be so high strung, you know, a million things going on. Basketball coach, actually.
Yeah.
A college basketball coach. And he said, here's what you need to do. And he takes the whole class over to this little table that he had that was kind of padded. And it was like one of the stretching tables or whatever.
Yeah.
He just lays down and he closes his eyes. And he's like, you guys are going to watch. I'm going to practice on my breathing. And I'm going to lay here for 15 minutes. And I'm not going to think about anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to reset my whole body. And he's like, this practice alone has changed everything for me. And he went from being super high stress to super kind of just laid back and casual. He was just taking time out of his day to unwind.
Yeah. There was you talk about funny coaching habits in the true wealth concept, right? A lot of these folks are like, well, what are mindsets of folks that successfully develop wealth?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is the idea that you respond rather than react.
Okay?
It seems really subtle, but like reactions tend to be the emotional shortcuts,
right
like you just I think of it like if you touch a hot stove, you're not responding, you are going to react. You're going to snap back because your body actually has a protection system that's literally going to pull it back. In fact, it's involuntary at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Right, if you touch a hot stove, it's involuntary that you pull back because the signal didn't even get to your brain.
Right?
Like you had this protection system that said, oh, I don't have time to send the signal up to the brain and process it and send it back down to pull your hand back. It's too late by then. So it just fires that emergency system and you hit your hand back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a reaction is. And we do tons of that emotionally. My example is like at the post office. Stand in line, get to the front, and I'm listening to people that are just sort of berating the folks at the post office because they're frustrated, right?
Yeah.
And I get it, but I'm like, if you shout at somebody else, do you think they're going to be like, you know, you're right, I totally need to go out of my way to help you, right? Like, that's not how that's going to go down. They're going to be like, you know, I'm coming out of the booth. Like, they're going to come. They're like, you know, I'm going to come over the table after you. Or they're just going to say, fine, pound sand. I don't have to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't have to help you. And so I see that, and I'm like, man, everybody was planning their speech before they got there because they just wanted to unload on somebody. I'm like, it's not going to produce the outcome you're looking for. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, I just need to vent somewhere. All right, well, let me know how that works out.
Yeah.
And we wonder why, you know, folks at the post office are just like, oh, geez. It's like, well, you know, if all you get is kicked all the time, you're going to get pretty numb.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. All right, so health, the first one being take care of the physical and also take care of some of the, you know, the stress management elements.
Yeah.
What else do we need to talk about in the health category?
I mean, maybe we kind of transition over into talking about, like, you know, how do you kind of balance things, especially in regards to, like, maybe, you know, balancing the wealth that's moving through your life and kind of growing that aspect in a healthy way.
All right. So I think if our health is the base of the pyramid, we got to talk about the next layer. So how are the resources going to start moving through our lives, and how are we going to manage those?
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep building on this, but after this super important break that we're going to take.
Let's take it.
All right. So stick around. We will be back with the True Well Show. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you're listening to News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show, where we are actually talking about True Wealth today. Probably less about the money than we've been talking a little bit about health and so forth. But, you know, we need to talk about the money a little bit, Matt.
Yeah, we really do.
You know, the first step of True Wealth, you know, was really securing health, and that's around good habits.
Mm-hmm.
But building wealth, I think, also requires good habits.
Yeah.
Some of it's mindset, but I think this all sort of fits together here. This idea of doing things with intention.
Okay? Yeah.
So many people, I think, life kind of happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like, hey, you know, I just kind of ended up where I ended up.
They're very reactionary.
Reactionary, and when I say not strategic, this
impulsive.
Is not,
they're impulsive.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's that, and it's. I'm not trying to be insulting when I say this. This is not like an indictment. This is just an acknowledgement of like, hey, if you don't have a specific destination in mind, then anyone will do, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you just got in the car and said, "Well, I'm just going to drive until I run out of gas, and I'm going to stop there," like, yes, you will.
That'd be kind of fun. Just no plan, just start driving. Where do I run out of gas?
Right, unless you run out of gas in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and that's happened before. I've been there on that one.
Right, and so that, and in hindsight, you look at that and go, failure to plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Unless the plan was to actually do that. But, you know, the old joke is, if you fail to plan to fail.
Yeah.
And so when I think about planning, a lot of people, they get really like, that's no fun. Okay.
Well, people don't like planning because it inherently means that they have to show some discipline. Once the plan's created, now you have accountability, and people don't inherently like accountability.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. Like, the inherent idea of accountability, it's a trained thing though, right?
Yeah.
Like you train yourself. Some people are wired more so than others. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really are.
Yeah.
But I'm a believer that, like, if you want to produce this an outcome that's consistent, right? Like, let's talk about the simple stuff. Hey, if I really had a great meal and I wanted to reproduce that, then you have to kind of document the steps you took so that you could reproduce it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, I had this great steak, and it's like, why can't this chicken taste like steak? It's like, it never will.
Right.
Right? Because it's not steak. And so I know that sounds like well, no, duh. What are you saying? That? Like, well, I'm saying that because a lot of people, they do approach their life that way, right? Well, there was no method or madness, or rather it was madness. It was no method. It was just a, well, I just kind of guessed and this is what happened. And so I'll try that again.
Mm-hmm.
And well, you know, maybe, you maybe that's not such a great idea.
Yeah.
Maybe some people just don't care about the outcome. Or if you care about the outcome, not enough to do something on purpose, right?
Yeah.
I don't think hope is a strategy.
Mm-hmm. A politician would like you to believe so.
Well, it's a great slogan.
Right.
Right. It's a great slogan because everybody wants hope, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I think it's really hard to not want hope.
Yeah.
Right?
But are you willing to work for it in any way or plan for it in any way?
Yeah. I mean, hope isn't a strategy.
No.
Right? Hope is a feeling. And so, and let's talk about in simple terms, right? One is subjective, right? And subjective is something that is versus objective. Subjective is the measurement is relative to the measurer.
Mm-hmm.
Tall and short, you know, heavy and light, bright and dark. Okay. Fun and boring. Like those are completely subjective. One person's fun is another person's boring. Okay. And, but then you get into objective measurements, 16 pounds, 4 miles, right? 37.92 degrees. Okay. Now you're getting really specific. You can't build a strategy on hope.
It's true.
So what do you build it on, Matt? Like, where does somebody start? Let's say that you're, let's kind of start through the life cycle of money. It's not really age, but it often kind of follows a little bit of an age where you're getting started and you're kind of getting momentum and so forth.
Yeah.
What's it look like?
Well, I think you kind of have to ask yourself, what type of lifestyle is it that I'm trying to create, right? And then what does that cost? Because if you don't know what it takes in order to build that lifestyle, you're kind of just spinning the wheels. And so looking down and creating a budget and saying, here's where I'm at, here's what I'm spending, here's where I want to be, how do I get there? That's a really good first starting point. And what's really exotic to me is people who've worked really hard to build their wealth, but they don't really know what they built it for or what they're going to do. And they don't take the time to actually ask that tough question. And it's like, well, let's make this money work for you. Let's make this lifestyle, you know, what you want it to be. But people have to sit down and they have to actually ask themselves, you know, what are my values? What are the things that I want out of this? And if you don't have numbers behind it, you don't really have anything at all.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what if you're, you know, 45 years old and you're like, well, I'd love to retire at, you know, 61 instead of 67. And then you do exactly what you just said, and you just hope that it happens. Well, that's not a measure for success.
I think that's the vast majority of people. You know, you said something earlier, and I think it's worth pointing out that a budget isn't a plan.
Yeah.
Right? Now, it's accountability to the spending, right?
Right.
So now a budget can be disciplined, and so that maybe a budget is a tool in the plan.
But it's not the plan.
Right? And that's a real mistake that I think it's a pretty common one. It's like, well, we have this budget and we're sticking to the budget. You go, good. Then what the plan was to stick to the budget. But are you saving for that? But you're saying, well, someday I want to be able to do these things. So you go, great. What are you doing to make the someday happen? That's what I see as the plan is for someday to be possible. Here's the things I have to do today.
You know, a real common one that I've heard from a lot of different people,
hmm.
They'll say, well, I have a number in mind that I want to get to. I want to get to $3 million by the time I retire
or $2 million or $10 million.
Yeah. And they're like, that's the number. And I just got to get there. And inherently, almost 100% of the time when I ask them, okay, well, what are you going to do with that money? or what's it for, they don't have an answer ever. It's just an arbitrary number, and it sounds cool, but it has no meaning and no purpose. And that is sad, because a lot of these people will get there, right? Because that's their entire focus. And if that is the goal, you very well might achieve it.
Right.
But if you get there and you achieve it, that can be kind of depressing too, because it's like, all right, I don't know what I'm doing now.
Well, you know, that is, it is a goal because it's measurable, right? But it's not connected to anything that that brings purpose.
Right.
And I know that's something that in your show prep, you talked a little bit about the concept of purpose. What do you mean?
You know, purpose means different things to different people. For some people, it's they want to give a lot of stuff to their kids, right? They actually don't have any intention of spending it. They're like, well, my purpose is to leave my kids in a better situation than I was. So that's my purpose. Some people, it's philanthropy in different ways, right? They want to give a bunch of money to the church. I've seen that. It really, really depends. Some people, their purpose is to travel and see the world. Like, it really means a lot of things to different people. And so none of them are right, wrong, or the other, I guess, but you kind of have to know what your purpose is.
Yeah, I like the idea that purpose can sometimes be, it's the driving factor, right? Sometimes the goal is the driving factor, but it's interesting because a goal that has meaning to it isn't a number. Right.
Yeah.
The number facilitates the goal.
Right.
I need $3 million because I want to be able to take two trips a year that are 2 weeks long that are in Europe.
Right.
And you go, oh, well, now we're getting pretty specific. Right. Mm-hmm. We have outcomes in mind.
Yes.
And the numbers are connected to the outcome. And, you know, the purpose, or it's really the goal that's driving. I sometimes think of purpose as even bigger than the goal. It's there's this underlying motivation. It's like a theme of motivation in somebody's life. Like, you know, my purpose is, like on this show, my purpose, when I think about what the True Wealth Show is for me, is to help teach people so that they can become financially free. Okay. And I define financial freedom as working because you want to, not because you have to.
Yeah.
Right. So you have enough resources that your resources will take care of you with or without you working. So you work because it's fulfilling and it brings you meaning. And so what is fulfilling and meaningful to me is helping teach people how to do that.
Yeah.
And that's why you hear us so often saying, like, maybe you don't hire us. That's okay. Maybe you don't hire anybody. Maybe you do it yourself. Well, great. But learn from us where you can, and where else, you know, learn from others where you can, and then go turn that into a success. But for our clients, that's a genuine motivation for me is, well, if we do our job right, then they hit financial freedom, which means they can go and act on their purpose, because you're not working because you have to. You work because you want to. That's now you get to move toward the real purpose and meaning in life, which is I'm doing things that I feel like make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. Like, from my side of the table, you know, helping people maintain the legacy that they've kind of established, that's a really big deal, because that stretches on oftentimes through just more than one generation, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, there's different ways to do that, whether it's making sure that someone's estate is in order, that they have a will or a trust, or, oh, you know, make sure that your beneficiaries are updated. There's all sorts of things that you can do to kind of help point people in a direction. I mean, I just had that the other day. Someone didn't have the right beneficiary, and I noticed it. I'm like, hey, you might want to update this. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't. If I would have died and that was the case, I would have been rolling in my grave.
Yeah, I might undie for that one.
Right? That's literally what the conversation was. But yeah, so helping people figure out, you know, where their values are at and making sure that that's honored is a really big deal.
Yeah. But it starts with really having, so there's this key to this process, right? I just realized, like, before I give away the key, it's like, hey, we have to take our last break. I can just make everybody wait for it. Yeah. So there is this key to aligning your purpose and your goals and how you bring a plan together. And We're going to talk about that, but we got to grab this last break. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show on the home stretch here. Matt, thanks for helping hold down the fort today.
Yep, yep.
Even though you are feeling sick.
Yeah.
Hey, I have one shameless plug, okay? Except that it's not a shameless plug. What I can only do is say, you know, the Reader's Choice Awards are going on right now at the News Review.
Ooh.
Also, you know, co-owned by the same organization owns the radio stations, right? So, and there is a financial advisor category. I would encourage everybody to go vote for their favorite financial advisor.
Hey, you made a plug. I'm going to make a plug.
Yeah?
Yeah. How many years in a row have we won this thing?
Three.
So if you don't know why we're the best financial advisor in town, according to the Reader's Choice Awards 3 years in a row, why don't you just give us a call and we can maybe help you find out?
Yeah.
So there it is. There's my little on-air advertisement for the firm. Little John Financial, we can maybe help you out.
We will certainly try. Our philosophy is simple. Everybody that comes in the door should walk out in a better place than they came in.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're a client, right? It just means that you're that much better informed every time.
You know, I get a lot of phone calls. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, but I get a lot of phone calls, actually, from people with random questions.
Yep.
And it's like, hey, I'm in debt and I'm really just, I have no one to turn to and I don't know what to do. You know what I do with those calls? I just help them try and figure it out. And we're not making any money, right? Like,
No. That's not always the point.
Yeah.
The money, I genuinely believe that kind of works itself out in the wash.
I just want to help people out. Now, do we have time enough in the day to help 500,000 people, you know, with this? No, that's not what we do.
And sometimes we are not a debt counseling service.
No, we're
that's not. That's
not
what we do.
But we can point you in the right direction.
Well, we certainly try to.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's talk about right direction. I'm going to use this to pivot since we only have a few minutes left, and I left everybody cliffhanging at the last break, right?
Yeah.
This idea of trying to get purpose and goals aligned and so forth, and what was the key around this?
Mm-hmm.
I think this term is sort of cliche at times, but I want to pause for a minute and really think about what it means. The concept of vision, okay?
Okay.
Vision is the idea that you can imagine yourself in the future and what you would like your life to look like, okay? And so you picture what that looks like and you sort of describe it to yourself. It's like, well, I'd like to be retired at this age. I'd like to live in these sorts of conditions. I'd like to have these things available to me. Now, do you need to ground those things in a certain amount of reality? At some point you probably do, but that is how you can set some of the guardrails for how you develop a plan. Right? Mm. What does the lifestyle you're picturing cost? What does it take to get there? And then are you willing to do the things that it takes to get there?
Mm.
Right? And then invariably somebody makes some snarky joke about like, oh yeah, well, I'll just, you know, steal and or something like that. It's like, well, I guess, but that's not likely to work.
Yeah,
right?
You're talking about how do you sustain momentum in a way? Yeah.
It turns out that if you have enough time on your side, a lot of things become pretty accessible if you just keep making the moves. And the funny thing, too, you're like, I want to be a billionaire. And then I go back to, is that actually what you want? Or do you want a certain lifestyle that you think being a billionaire looks like? And so, therefore, you just chose that number, right? Like, what is it that's the lifestyle that you're looking for? Does it require billions?
Yeah.
I'm surprised if it does. Because I think billionaire status is mostly kind of an elite thing for elites to talk about. But that lifestyle isn't necessarily even very attractive.
But being a millionaire anymore is like very achievable.
This would sound weird, but I think pretty much anybody in America, if they have 20 years and have pretty good work ethic and, you know, you're going to have to avoid I'll call self-inflicted financial wounds, right? The things where you just kind of make knucklehead moves. But anybody with 20 years in this country and some discipline can be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Right? Discipline and good work ethic, that's possible. Now, you may have to upgrade your skills. You may have to get some education. You may have to do things that can get you on that course. But if you're dedicated to it, I think it's really reachable.
Consistency with the small habits goes a long ways.
Yeah. So, you know, and by the way, if I think anybody can do that, I also think, you know, you could still squander that opportunity as well.
Yeah.
Right? You could have 20 years and spin your wheels and not go anywhere. And if you do 20 years of spinning your wheels and then blame everybody else, like, yeah, well, you're just blame shifting.
Yeah.
You know, you got to look at you too.
The one that really irks me is when someone gets a huge head start or they get a huge advantage, and because they don't know what they don't know, they squander the opportunity. And so that's another area where I feel like we can help too. It's like, if you know, you've got yourself in a situation where you can have success and you don't know what to do, find someone that can help.
Yeah. So in the last 60 seconds, let's see how quickly you can hammer these out. The 10 ways to improve your health and wealth, Matt. You had them. Can you just jam them out? Go.
Yep. Start a good morning routine. Get up and get going. Have an annual checkup. So physically, you know, go to the doctor, check your portfolio as well. Spend your time wisely, maybe roughly 50% on priorities, 30% on wellness, and maybe 20% on hobbies. That's loose, though. Manage your stress. You got to do that. Make sure that you're monitoring those investments. Hire an expert. And prioritize lifelong learning and get some sleep.
All right. I love it. And my favorite one at the end is, and I think this is super important, you need to reinvest back into your community.
Absolutely.
Right? It turns out, a lot of studies about that, that those that give, it comes back as well. So don't forget that. We didn't get to spiritual life, but one of these days we will, or see us after class. Until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And if you want to reach us, they call
541-375-0898.
All right. Until then, we'll catch you next week. This has been True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.